This Shabbos is called Shabbos Shira. And the reason it's called Shabbos Shira, obviously, is because we have the song of Az Yashir that we read in the Kriyas HaTorah. But there are also two other songs that we read in Shabbos Shira. There's the Shiras Miriam and the Shiras Devorah. Obviously, if there are three separate Shiras, I think, perhaps, we can suggest that each Shira adds something unique to the concept of Shira and teaches us something new that the other Shiras don't teach us. So I'd like to explore the three Shiras, but before we do that, a couple of questions. Klal Yisrael experienced no shortage of miracles. There are plenty of miracles that we experienced throughout the process of Yitzias Mitzrayim. Eser Makos was unbelievable. We have the Man, Anani Akava, the Be'er. Where do we sing Shira? We sing Shira at Az Yashir. Klal Yisrael as a whole sings Shira together at Az Yashir. Apparently, Kriyas Yamsuf did something for us that none of the other miracles did. And just to enhance that point, the Medrash says, "Lama tzarich lasku Kriyas Yamsuf be'emes v'yatziv l'fi shekivan shekar l'mes v'yam he'minu bo shemar v'yaminu ba'ashem v'moshe avdo." You know when Klal Yisrael really had emuna? Kriyas Yamsuf. With Eser Makos, we weren't there yet. With all the other nisim v'neflos, we weren't there yet. When did we have real emuna? Kriyas Yamsuf. So apparently, Kriyas Yamsuf was one of these. Not one of these, was a singular experience, a completely unique experience of Emuna. Now, the entire Gulas Mitzrayim was an Odyssey in Emuna. But nevertheless, Kriyas Yam Suf is singled out as the one place we sing Shira, the one place where we have Emuna. What is it about Kriyas Yam Suf that makes it different than everything else? And to add to that, Klal Yisrael sang Shira Kriyas Yam Suf. It must have been very impressive for everybody else also to see Kriyas Yamsuf. Malachim wanted to sing Shira at Kriyas Yamsuf, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't allow them. Masa yaday tovim b'yam v'atem amam Shira. This isn't a Shira for you. It's only a Shira for Klal Yisrael. So not only was Kriyas Yamsuf a unique experience, it was and something that demanded Shira, apparently, but it was something that only demanded Shira from Klal Yisrael themselves, not from anybody else. So again, three issues I want to deal with. What is the meaning of the three Shiros, and how do they relate to each other? Number two, what was so unique and special and singular about Kriyas Yamsuf that only that event demanded Shira and commanded our Emuna? And number three, why is it that the Malachim and nobody else was able to sing Shira, only Klal Yisrael was able to sing Shira? So I think we can explain this based on an idea of Rav Nissen Alpert, Zichron Levracha, in the Sefer Limudei Nissan. I was just listening to Rabbi Ganak's talk about Rav Nissen Alpert, and he said, he was talking to, I guess, college-age students, and he said, if you go into Rabbanus, you should always know the Sefer Limudei Nissan is always good if you need a drasha. I would echo that sentiment. Phenomenal Sefer. Rav Nissen Alpert explains that Shira represents emotions that runs so deep that you just can't contain them anymore. Somebody's overcome with a vision of God and he just can't contain his feelings, just needs to burst out in joy and the ecstasy of greeting the Ribbono Shel Olam, of encountering the Almighty. Such a person sings Shira. If you look at how the Torah describes, we say it every day, Oz Yashir Moshe Bnei Yisrael Shira Zos Lashem Vayomru Lemar. That they sang, Bnei Yisrael, the Moshe sang the Shira to God, Vayomu, and they said, Lemar. What's the word Lemar doing? What's that adding? Normally, Lemar means Lemar la'achirim, to go tell other people. What do you mean? They're singing the Shira, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's not Lemar la'achirim. What does Lemar add? So if Albert explains, oh, that's what Shira is. Shira is when you're so excited about something, you need to tell somebody. You can't hold it in anymore, you just have to say. That's Shira. The definition of Shira is Lemar. I think that level of excitement about Judaism, excitement about Torah, excitement about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there are three models in the three Shiros how to achieve such a level of excitement. The first model is Shiras Miriam. Shiras Miriam wasn't just a Shira because a good thing happened. It was a Shira from a woman, led by a woman, who when nobody else believed, when everybody else lost emuna and lost bitachon and thought that there were no brighter days ahead. She was the one crazy person who believed that something good was going to come out. Amram and Yocheved split. Miriam says, no, we should have Shira. Not Shira, we should have hope. We should have bitachon. And after years and years of emuna and bitachon, her bitachon was vindicated. She was right. That's Shira. When a person goes years with a sense of emuna, not sure how things are going to play out, but knowing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in charge and he'll make things right, and then they're vindicated, that's a sense of Shira. And that's why, dafka in this context, Miriam is referred to as Achos Aaron. Why Achos Aaron, not Achos Moshe? Wasn't this Moshe's moment in the sun? When he took Klal Yisrael through Kriyas Yamsuf, says Rashi, Achos Aaron, Kodem Shenol and Moshe, Amra, Asi De'imi, Shetei Lebein. She's called Achos Aaron because she was the one that before Moshe was ever born, she was the one who had the Amunah. And now is where that Amunah is paying off. Now she's able to see how that Amunah bears fruit. The other women also had tremendous faith and a very similar kind of Shira. They sing together with Miriam, a very similar kind of Shira. Rashi says, Muftachos hayu tzidkan Yosha b'dar shakadosh baruch hu osalam nisim. They were sure God was going to do nisim for them. And they were so sure of it, they brought musical instruments out of Mitzrayim. You need musical instruments for in the Midbar, in the desert. What are you going to do with them? No, they knew there was going to be a time for Shira. Such emunah, such bitachon. When that's vindicated, it's a sense of Shira. You just have to share it. You have to scream it out. I got a call yesterday from Rav Shimshon Scherer. Never met him in my life. He's the son of Rav Moshe Scherer, a Rav in a shul in Flatbush. And he apparently heard on YU Torah. I guess he goes on YU Torah. He heard my drush on the tragedy in Haiti. And he wanted to share his thoughts and congratulate me on the drasha. He thought it was well done, and he wanted to add some, tell me what he didn't like about it, and add some things that he would have been mosif to it, and that he was planning on being mosif to it. Anyway, Sof, we were on the phone for about an hour, and it's Geshmaki Yid. He could certainly schmooze with the best of them, and he told me the following maisa about his father, Rav Moshe Scherer. He said that when Rav Moshe Scherer was 30 years old, his father-in-law, who was the Rav of the White Shul, people don't realize, before Rabbi Pelkowitz, was the Rav of the White Shul in Far Rockaway. His father-in-law suffered a massive stroke and died. And the White Shul offered the job to Rav Moshe Scherer. Rav Moshe Scherer was 30 years old. Getting an offer of a position like that, the Rav of the White Shul is a very big shul. Sounded like an opportunity he can't turn down. Not only that, his mother-in-law said, I want you to take it. I want to keep the shteller in the family. I want to still be the Rebbetzin, so the Rebbetzin Emeritus. So Moshe Scherer said, I'm going to take it. I just don't do anything without asking Rav Aaron Cutler. So I'm just going to ask Rav Aaron Cutler first. And then I'm sure I'll present it to him in such a way where he's not going to say no. Why would he say no? And he went to ask Rav Aaron Cutler. Rav Aaron Cutler said to him, you can't take it. And he said, why not? He said, well, we have much bigger plans for Moshe Scherer than any single shul, no matter how great the shul is. He's a little stunned. He didn't understand exactly what Rav Aaron Cutler was talking about, but he listens to his rabbi, so he said, okay, he turned it down. His mother-in-law was very upset at him. She didn't like it one bit. Strained relationship with him for many years. 10 years later, his mother-in-law gets the New York Times delivered. She opens up the paper. She immediately calls her son-in-law and says, you need to come over right away to her house in Far Rockaway. So he slept out. Okay, my mother-in-law calls. And she said, for 10 years, I didn't understand what Rav Aaron Cutler was talking about. But now I see, at the ripe old age of 40, you're in the New York Times presenting to senators and congressmen about issues pertinent to the Jewish people as a whole. I understand now. I understand what Rav Aaron Cutler was talking about. Imagine that sense of vindication, that sense of, you know, it was crazy at the time. Why would he not take such a job? But as it turns out, In the long run, Rav Aaron Cutler had that foresight to understand that some people are going to be able to, are just destined for very, very big things. That's the Shiras Miriam, that sense that the mother-in-law had, that sense of vindication, that sense of now I get it. All these years, and now it all makes sense. That's the Shiras Miriam. And that's why the women who had children with Mitzrayim, because they had that emunah, they knew there were better days ahead. It's one type of Shira. Second type of Shira is Shiras Devora. Devora was Shofeta, says Yisrael. She was a very intellectual woman, judging, giving war orders, right? We're told nothing of her family life. Very unusual for a woman in Tanakh. We know very little. Eshes Lapidos, that's about it. We don't even know who Lapidos is. I mean, Chazal tell us it was Barak, fine. But we don't know much. What's her Shira in life? It's not the Nachas from the children, doesn't seem. What's her Shira? Her Shira reflects an understanding, a Yediyas Hashem, through Torah, through intellect. Sometimes a Chiddush is so powerful. A Chiddush in learning. It's so powerful, it's so overwhelming. You feel like you're studying the word of the Ribbono Shel Olam. How often do we take a step back in our learning and say, ah, that's the Ribbono Shel Olam's Torah. Some people are turned on to Yiddishkeit from singing and dancing and kumzitz and whatever. Some people from chesed. But many are turned on to Yiddishkeit from learning, from the intellectual side of it. Sometimes even before people necessarily daven, before they do anything, they see the geshmak in learning. My brother's a Rosh Kollel in Palo Alto, California. He's had people that come to his Daf Yomi Shir, even on Shabbos, even though they live 5-10 miles away. How do they get there on Shabbos? They're driving. They're learning Daf Yomi already. But that's the beginning. That's what turns them on. It's so exciting. I'm reminded of the story, a Talmud walked into Rav Baruch Ber's office. Sort of Baruch Bar Leibowitz, he saw him singing and dancing. And the Talmud said, Rebbe, what are you doing? He said, ah, I finally got pshat in the Rashba. Dancing. Shira. That's the Shira composed. Happened to be by a woman, by Devora. She's also capable of Yediyas Hashem. But that's a second type of Shira. Not one of years of Emunah, but one of studying God's Torah and appreciating the words of Hashem. And then the third type of Shira, the third level of excitement, is Az Yashir. Simply by experiencing God, active participation in a miracle. We had Emunah before, of course we believed in God before, but not to this level. Because it's a totally different ballgame when things happen to you, and when you participate yourself, when you're in the middle of things, when it becomes yours. It's true in learning. We say over Chiddush, and we heard from our Rebbe, but it's still not the same as having your own Chiddush. And it's certainly true in our experience of Judaism. The way people view a shul, for instance. Right? So someone who davens in a shul might love his shul, he might enjoy it very much. The founders of that shul, the builders of that shul, the people who made it happen, it's a different experience. It's a different relationship. In yeshivas, in anything, in a company, anything. When you personally experience it, that level of closeness, that level of excitement, that the success of an endeavor you were directly involved in, that's a shira. Before it was Hashem Elokei Avosechem Nira Eli, Elokei Avram Yitzchak Yaakov. Now, it's not just Elokei Avram Yitzchak Yaakov, it's Zekeli Va'anvehu. Everyone experienced, this is my Ribono Shel Olam. And it's the ultimate Shira. That's the greatest level of Shira, more than the Shira of Emunah, more than the Shira of Talmud Torah, the Shira of being an active participant. Ha Shira Hazos, the Hey Ayodia. It's the best way to arrive at the feelings that serve as an impetus to engage in Shira is by becoming an active participant. Even in learning, go back to the intellectual Shira, but how does one get to that intellectual Shira? Very rarely is it by sitting in a good lecture. It's from fighting with the Chavrusa back and forth. It's from yelling in a base medrash. Ah! That's an experience. That's a Shira. Now, obviously, our entire lives cannot be lived with Shira. Kala omer halal b'chol yom ha-reza mechari from a gadeh. It's unrealistic. However, we must have moments in our lives that are punctuated with a sense of Shira. Now, how do we do it? Well, first, if all of our decisions are motivated by a genuine emunah, by genuine faith in the Ribbono Shel Olam, even if it doesn't seem like a rational or a popular decision, then we'll be able to look back in our old age like Miriam did, beaming with pride and gratification that we made the right decisions in life, and that ultimately those decisions, yes, they do pay off. Number two, if we open ourselves up to the wisdom of Torah, we dedicate ourselves, not just a little bit, but we really dedicate ourselves, our intellectual energy. We really focus on it and work on it to the point that we can appreciate the beauty of Torah and its grandeur. Then ultimately we'll experience moments of Shira in our learning. And third, and finally, the greatest level of Shira, to be an active participant in Devarim Shebekdusha. To be an active participant in Torah, Avoda, Gemilas Chasadim. We throw our time, effort, energy into all that we do for the good of Klal Yisrael. Now obviously the success in any given endeavor is contingent on HaKadosh Baruch Hu's involvement, Him making it happen, right? It wasn't enough that we walk into the Sea, HaKadosh Baruch Hu then had to split it. But our appreciation for the goodness of the Ribbono Shel Olam will increase exponentially when we become actively involved, when we become actively involved in our learning, when we become actively involved in chesed, when we become actively involved in a community, when we become actively involved with other Jews. That ultimately is going to make our lives punctuated with a profound sense of Shira.